The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I want to officially welcome everybody to the podcast, the YouTube channel, and Facebook Live. Again, if this is your first time joining us, we welcome you. Please let us know that you're new in the comments section if you can. Please let us know where you're joining us from. We always appreciate you guys letting us know that. So today I want to be dealing with a particular interesting subject. Are we witnessing the perfect storm taking place? Now, I know many people's going to think that I'm emphasizing the Hurricane Laura, which that does play a part in this. But I'm going to take us back on a journey all the way to 2008. In 2008, a prophetic author, evangelist, and speaker by the name of John Paul Jackson released a statement in which he said that the Lord spoke to him back in 2008. And I'm going to pull up some pictures here. I always forget that we have PowerPoint here. Again, we thank you for joining us here on the broadcast. And for you guys that are listening to the broadcast, we're pulling up PowerPoint slides. That's why we always want to encourage you, if you can, to visually watch these messages if you can, because a lot of times they'll have pictures and illustrations and whatnot that you can follow along with it. So you guys on Facebook and YouTube, you're seeing John Paul Jackson here again, prophetic author, speaker. Many considered him a prophet in his day. Sadly, he passed away several years back. But in 2008, John Paul Jackson warned about a coming perfect storm. In this statement, he spoke of a time that would come to America and the world in which economic, military, religious, political, and geophysical issues and events would occur in a relatively small period of time to make up, or that would create, what he called a, quote, perfect storm of calamity. So if you're just joining us, we're talking about this today. In the summer of 2009, Jackson actually was a guest on the Sid Ross Supernatural radio and television program, which also aired on TBN, or the Trinity Broadcasting Network. It was on God TV and Daystar as well. In this particular interview, John Paul Jackson described in detail events that were revealed to him. Quote, and this is a quote from John Paul Jackson. Again, this was back in 2008. He went a full year, even in 2009 and so forth. He spoke of this. He said, quote, I saw the year 2010 was going to be very difficult, especially as you get further into 2010. I saw the year, I kept hearing an angel speaking, saying in a deep, loud voice, quote, the woes of 2012. So again, in 2008, he heard from the Lord that there was coming a perfect storm. And then 2010, he heard what he claims to be an angel of the Lord who revealed to him and spoke to him, that he kept hearing an angel speaking and saying in a deep, loud voice that, quote, the woes of 2012, the woes of 2012, the woes of 2012. Now, in case you didn't know, 2011, 2010, 2011, 2012 was very catastrophic years for disasters. Political things happened. There was record flooding, there was earthquakes that struck, there was many things that took place. He went on and he even said in his own words that, quote, I don't know what these woes are. However, the angel did not tell me that what these woes were, but there was more emphasis on those woes than almost anything else that I was given. But he went on to say, Jackson elaborated more on his original message in a video released in 2011. Called The Perfect Storm Revised, in which he stated he did not know the details of what these woes were. He was referring to the incident that took place in 2010, about 2012. But he went on to affirm that he did not believe that it was apocalyptic in nature. What he meant by that was there was a lot of I don't know if you remember the chatter in 2012 that there was the Mayan calendar was going to come to an end and the world was going to end in 2012. But we know that that never happened. So, again, that's what he was emphasizing. But nevertheless, John Paul Jackson said that there would come a series that would take over time, a series of disasters. And again, I want to give you the quote here. He said there would be economic, military, religious, political, and geophysical issues and events that would occur that would create what he called, again, the perfect storm. So consequently enough, we talked about this, or I reported this on End Time Headlines today. I shared a little bit about this. This was originally, the source of this was from Echo Watch. And I want to read a little bit of an excerpt out of this blog that we wrote this morning on this quote. "We are witnessing historic heat waves, wildfires, and a massive derecho that recently ripped through the middle of the nation, I'm sorry, and a record-breaking pace to this year's hurricane season. These unprecedented and extreme disasters are causing many experts to sound the alarm." And by the way, this is not a this was not a religious source. It was not a Christian source. It was not from a prophet or a watchman. Okay, let me read on. "Many experts are sounding the alarm that what we are now seeing or witnessing is the grim reality of what, quote, climate future scientists have been warning us about for decades. Only it's now beginning to take place." This is why I constantly emphasize to people who they get mad when you mention climate change, or you mentioned global warming. Look, I believe, I don't totally discredit these things. What I say, I believe firmly that those things are going to play into what the Bible describes as perilous times, and especially dealing with disasters and natural disasters and calamities and so on and so forth. So this is what I believe is happening right now. I want to read on here. It says, "Only now what is beginning to take place is that currently the U.S. is experiencing multiple disasters happening at one time." Kind of like the perfect storm, right? "The Midwest is trying to recover from a devastating derecho that produced nearly $4 billion in damage." By the way, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I'm going to pull this up here. You guys, again, you're missing out on podcasts. You guys on Facebook and YouTube are going to be able to see this. But this derecho that came through the nation's Midwest was on the radar. That's an actual photo you're seeing. It was shaped like a dragon. Look how this doesn't take much of a, you know, it doesn't take much stretch of the imagination to be able to see what we're seeing here. When you look at this, you can see the wings, you can see the head, you can see the tail, and you can see the body and the eye of a dragon. And this is what recently came, this storm system, which again is called a derecho. By Wikipedia's definition, it is a widespread, long-lived, straight-line wind storm that is associated with a fast-moving group of severe thunderstorms known as a convective system, and potentially rivaling hurricanic, and tornadic forces. In other words, it's like a hurricane in the inland, because hurricanes, like right now, the Hurricane Laura is coming up the coast. It's coming up through the coast. And so any coastal regions, it's normal for them to have hurricanes in hurricane season. But what's not normal is for a system like a derecho to be produced and go through a nation's midsection and produce hurricane force winds, because we don't get, I'm in Georgia, when I lived in Indiana, when I lived in Kentucky, when I lived in Tennessee, we didn't get hurricanes. But this is a derecho. This recent derecho struck the heartland of America, ravaged millions of acres of corn and soybean fields in Iowa as wind gusts topped over 100 miles an hour. The damage was so bad that the New York Times reported that Iowa state officials estimate that at least 14 million acres of necessary farmland have been damaged by this storm. Not only were crops destroyed, but hundreds of millions of bushels of commercial storage grain, as well as tens of millions of bushels of on-farm storage grain were also lost. Again, the estimate, according to Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds, the devastation estimates $4 billion in damages from the storm. And then that moves us on to the next part, and that's what's happening right now. Hurricane, as we speak, Hurricane Laura has now made landfall, moving inland. And last I heard, last we reported anyway, when I blogged on this morning, it swept across Louisiana, producing destructive winds of 100 to some places 135 miles an hour, flooding, rainfall, storm surges that forecasters were saying unsurvivable, isolated tornadoes. The destructive winds have knocked out power to over 500,000 homes and businesses in southeast Texas and Louisiana, with Lake Charles, Louisiana reporting wind destruction, including numerous shattered windows in downtown skyscrapers, and a communication tower has collapsed. Power poles have been toppled, roofs have been completely ripped off, trees and power lines also down all over the city in Shreveport, Louisiana, according to local law enforcement, while multiple downed trees and power lines also block roads throughout Caldwell Parish in Louisiana. Then we have what's going on in Kenosha, which is looking more like a war zone. A 17-year-old was arrested on Wednesday night after two people were reportedly shot to death during the third, and last night was the fourth straight night of protests in Kenosha over the police shooting of Jacob Blake. Again, this is all unfolding simultaneously, happening. At one point during the rampage that exploded just before midnight, this was not last night, but the night before, in the city of 100,000 people midway between Milwaukee and Chicago, Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has now authorized the deployment of 500 members of the National Guard, doubling the number of troops on the ground. And it's reported that he's now working overtime with other states to bring in additional National Guard members and law officers. Last I heard, they're under a state of emergency there. So again, what are we talking about here? We're talking about the perfect storm is taking place. Weather events, social unrest. Let's move on. Let's talk about the economy. Then there was another report that we talked about today. This was interesting enough for me to blog a little bit about this morning on Anytime Headlines. Listen to this. A group of multimillionaire investors in the United States are apparently rattled by the recent current economic climate in America. According to reports from Bloomberg, they are hoarding cash at unprecedented levels. Tiger 21, which is a club made up of more than 800 investors, again, these are multimillionaires, reported Thursday that its members have raised their cash holdings to 19% of their total assets over concerns of the economic consequences of the pandemic in the United States. This figure is up from about 12% since the beginning of the pandemic. Many of these investors expect the crisis to continue to get worse until the end of next June. So I don't know what you want to do with that, but you can take that with a grain of salt. But they're saying, I'm going to read that again, quote, many of these investors expect the crisis to continue to get worse until the election's over. No. Until January of the new year. No, they say next June. That's almost a year out, guys. So listen, when investors make a move, brokers, people on Wall Street, people that deal with stock markets, when they start moving, exchanging, the money makers watch the money. You know, there's an old phrase called watch the money, follow the money. When you start seeing these things happening, it's, you may want to pay attention and take note. I know personally, I went to get, there's certain things you can't find anymore. There was a report that there was a particular warehouses, storage houses in America that are storing tons and tons of food. Why is the question? Building supplies are falling short. People can't get things done. We're in the process of building a house ourselves. That's why we're in this transition. That's why I have a weird backdrop right here. And I can't, that's why I apologize for the sound on the microphone. People complain because the sound is not as good. It's boomy. It's echo. It's got reverb. It's because I'm not in my, I don't have my own office. I don't have carpet on the floor. I don't have the environment that I need to be able to do these podcasts the way I would like, or these broadcasts. So we're in the building process. And even the builders in which we're dealing with talk about there is a supply shortage taking place. I went to buy some dumbbells to do some workouts. I can't find any dumbbells. Can't find them at Walmart. Can't find them at Dick's Sporting Goods. Can't find them anywhere. Even on Amazon, they're hard to get a hold of. We went to buy our son a laptop for school, virtual school. You can't find them. Certain laptops. I went to multiple stores. Can't find them. Best Buy, Target, Walmart. Got on Amazon. You can't order any of them all the way back up to September. So this is not just toilet paper or certain supplies that are running short, guys. There is multiple things that's being affected by this, and you can have your opinion and you can say whatever you want about it. Everyone has one. But this quote unquote pandemic has sent ripple effect has gone all the way from grocery markets to retail to construction. Every industry is now being impacted. So I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what September is going to bring, October is going to bring. I have an opinion. I believe that based on how things are going, I could honestly see, because right now some of your kids are in school, you've got them in classes. I'm telling you, when the fall hits and the winter hits, I believe that they're going to start pulling kids out of school again. I believe they're going to shut them down again. And I believe people are going to go back, all be shut back down into virtual or streaming or whatever the case may be, stay at home, homeschool, whatever. And look, I hope it doesn't happen, but I can honestly see that happening. So you got this going on. Then what about the church? Is the church being affected? Well, There was a new survey that came out. One in five churches in the next 6 months is going to shut their doors permanently because of the effects of the coronavirus. That we just shared that article yesterday, that report we shared. Think about that, guys. One in five churches, drive down the road and count five churches. One out of five churches could possibly close their doors within the next 6 months, all because of the coronavirus pandemic. Why? Because people are not coming anymore. They're drying up. Now, I know it bothers me when I see some of the comments on social media. Well, let them all dry up. Let them all close down. Listen, just because you've had a bad experience with church doesn't mean every church is bad. There's churches out there that are not doing what they should be. There's churches out there that maybe they become a house of entertainment, not a house of God, but it's not every church. There's legitimate remnant churches out there that are still on fire for God, still teach the word of God. They still desire to see a move of God. So let's not take a wide, broad brush and paint every church is bad and that we need to shut them all down. Because again, I'll remind you that the word of God says that that we are to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even more so as the day approaches. The day of what? The day of the return of the Lord. We need, come on somebody, look at, if you have a neighbor beside you, a husband, a wife, a friend, you have somebody, tell them you need them and they need you. We need each other. We are the body of Christ. We are many members of one body and we need one another. The foot, how can the foot say to the hand, I need not of you? And how can the hand say, or the hand say to the foot, or the mouth say to the body? We need all members of the body working effectively together. We don't need churches shutting down. Okay? Not because of some virus. If they're going to shut down, let God judge them. Let God shut them down. Let God separate the wheat from the tare and the sheep from the goat. But we don't need some virus shutting down our churches. On that note, I don't know if you guys saw this, but this is an unbelievable story coming out of California. I know you guys know about the John MacArthur ongoing lawsuit and the battle that he's ensuing. By the way, he's still in the fight. He's still going on forward with this. But now listen to this. A Baptist church in California has just been made an example of and have been fined $10,000 for holding a morning and evening service indoors. According to the report, they were also charged for including singing during their indoor gatherings. They were also charged for, the church has also been strictly warned by officials in California that if they continue violations of the Santa Clara County health order, it will result in an additional $5,000 per occurrence fine. Wow. According to a statement, North Valley Baptist is failing to prevent those attending, performing, and speaking at North Valley Baptist services from singing. The letter from officials read in part, quote, the county understands that singing is an intimate and meaningful component of religious worship. However, public health experts have also determined that singing together in close proximity and without face coverings transmits coronavirus particles further in the air than breathing or speaking quietly. According to the Christian News Network, the pastor of North Valley Baptist Church released a video statement on Monday explaining that the church had previously complied with the directives prohibiting indoor gatherings as the coronavirus seemed to be a serious threat. The pastor went on to say, quote, I didn't want to be responsible for seeing people die. He went on to say that, quote, because it was going to be a hot spot, we obeyed to the letter. And he stated that actual fatalities were nowhere near what was originally projected in a county of more than 1 million people. Therefore, the church decided to begin holding indoor meetings in the auditorium again, but with social distancing and other preventative measures in place. County officials then tapped a multiple-page cease and desist order to the door of the church, outlining that the pastor was in willful violation of the prohibiting indoor gatherings, as well as singing. It also asserted that there was no social distancing protocol in place. The church was served with two $5,000 fines for holding indoor morning and evening services and given no grace period. Also, a $250 fine was reportedly given for a lack of social distancing protocol that was also proposed with a 48-hour grace period. However, the pastor did respond by saying, quote, it is not the government's jurisdiction to make laws against the church. And he went on to say that he wasn't trying to be condescending or snarky or to make smart aleck remarks, but that he was only basing his decision on what he was seeing happening in his area. But this is unbelievable, guys. We're not talking about China here. You know, in China, where they were welding doors shut of residents so that they could ensure and that they can ensure that they were not going to get out and infect people in the public. They we're not talking about China, where they're going to the homes of people and they're arresting them and they're removing pastors from churches and they're demanding that people bow down and begin to worship President Kai and not the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're ripping down crosses and ripping down alleged images of Jesus Christ and replacing them with pictures of, again, with President Xi, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, and so on and so forth. But we're talking about the United States of America. This is happening. What we're talking about, the perfect storm. It's not just affecting natural disasters. We're not just talking about economy. We're not talking about just social unrest. But now the church is seeing things that we only heard and we only read about overseas that have now come to U.S. shores. Now I want to close with this. Does the Bible actually mention disasters unfolding in the last days? I believe it does. Luke 21, 11 and Luke 21, 25 and 26, it says there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences. And then in Luke 21, 25 and 26, it says, and there will be great, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth. Upon the earth. So these things are happening. By the way, the Bible mentions volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, and disasters, not just in the New Testament, but it foretells of them in passages in the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, the book of Revelation, all these. You can go and do your own homework on that. I didn't want to pull up every one of these scriptures for sake of time, but it mentions these things in these passages, even in a prophetic war that's going to take place in the future called the War of Gog and Magog, Ezekiel 38:39. You can go in there, and it speaks of a great earthquake that captures the attention of the whole world. The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the field, mountains will fall out of place. Islands will be moved, according to Isaiah. So these disasters are mentioned in the Bible. So they don't contradict what environmentalists are warning about, what scientists are warning about geoengineering things or earth changes or global warming or climate change. Actually, those things, science and the Bible are actually coincided. They're coming together and they're sounding the alarm for the perfect storm that I believe John Paul Jackson was spot on. I believe what he warned about in 2008 and 2010 and 2011 and 2012, I believe we are seeing this begin to unfold on an unprecedented level. Now, having said that, I do want to bring out the notion that we have now officially entered into on the Jewish calendar of the season of Teshuvah, which, by the way, is linked to a season of repentance that goes all the way back to the time of Exodus chapter 32, dealing with Moses interceding for Israel in the days in which they sinned with the golden calf, and that was a period of 40 days. You can also see this played out in the book of Jonah. We talked about this. We'll probably do a podcast. We do this every year on the month of Elul or Teshuvah, and why this is important and why we need to participate in this. These 40 days include 29 days of Elul, which is believed to be a divine grace period or a divine period of mercy. Again, this goes back to the time of Moses. Remember, God spared the children of Israel because he was so angry at them, but Moses interceding, there was a period of 40 days there. The 29 days of Elul began on August 21st, and it will continue until the Feast of Trumpets, which begins on the 18th of September. So you can mark that on your calendar. Again, this is a time of 40 days of repentance. really it's 30 days, then you go to the 10 days of awe, which is considered to be the open heavens. We need to, if there was ever a time to, again, intercede, travail, cry out to God for mercy, cry out to God to repentance. Again, this is right into 2 Chronicles 7:14. My people shall humble themselves and turn from their sins and wicked ways. Then the Lord says, then shall I hear from heaven, and then shall I heal their land. It ties right in with that. So again, the church has a responsibility, just like Moses represented the church. Moses stood in the gap. When God was about to wipe out Israel in his wrath and his anger, Moses stood in the gap in a time, he stood in the gap and repented for the children of Israel. We, as the body of Christ, are called to stand in the gap. I believe that we cannot prevent Bible prophecy from taking place, but I do believe the church has the ability, by what we do in this time, that we can delay calamities. We can delay judgment. We can't prevent Bible prophecy. It's going to happen. But God can have mercy upon us. He can give us a time of reprieve. And my goodness, do we ever need it? Come on, how many are sick of this coronavirus? I just wish things would get back to normal, Brother Ricky. Listen, I don't believe things will ever get back to quote unquote normal. I'm not going to go as far as what Biden say and say there's no miracle, because I believe in miracles. I believe in the power of a praying church. And I believe that if the ecclesia, the church, the body of Christ, if the Bible says that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church, I believe that if one can set 1,000 to flight, then two can set 10,000 to flight. I believe that if Matthew 18:19, if any two shall agree in touching any one thing, it shall be done by the Father which is in heaven. I believe the words of Jesus that if we can speak unto a mountain and command it to be cast into the sea and not doubt in the heart, but believe in those things in which we say, it shall be done unto us. If we believe those things, church, then what can we do as a collective body of Christ? Come on, somebody. Are we going to keep talking about a move of God, a revival, a time of healing, or are we going to do something about it and see God's hand move? I want to leave you with a verse of scripture. So I know we're going to do things a little bit different today. Usually we pray at the end. So this time, instead of doing all that, I want to give you a verse of scripture that just really kind of leaped out of my heart when I put this together this morning. And that is Psalms chapter 46. Again, that's Psalms chapter 46. If you've got a Bible, you can underline this Psalm. You can highlight this. This is a really powerful it's not that long. It's a small passage of scripture here. Psalms 46. Listen to this. God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle, the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved, and God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. I want to say it again. The Lord of hosts is with us. Not he was, he is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Listen, I come by to tell you today through podcast, YouTube, and Facebook, or however you may hear this or watch this, that though storms are brewing, unrest is exploding in the streets across America, the economy is tanking, diseases and pestilences and weird things are happening in 2020. I come by to tell you today, despite what some politician may tell you or whatever the case would be, I'm telling you, it may look dark in this hour, but I come by to tell you what the psalmist said in Psalm 46, and that is God is still on the throne. He is still with us. He is still our refuge. He is still our defender. He is still our protector. He is still our provider. Come on, somebody. He's still our healer. He's still Jehovah Jireh. He's still, come on. He came back as a lowly lamb, and he came the first time as a lowly servant. But come on, he's set to come back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Listen, if you're not ready for his return, now's the time to get ready. It's time to stop playing patty cake. It's time to stop being lukewarm and riding the fence. It's time to repent. It's time to get oil in your lamp, get your wicks trimmed, and begin to move forward and serving the Lord Jesus Christ and burning from him and burning for him in these last days in Jesus' name. Come on, do you believe that today? Come on, let God's people say amen and amen. Real quick, guys, I want to tell you, most of you guys know this, but there may be some new folks joining us today for the broadcast. If you're watching by Facebook or by YouTube, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, that's where you're going to find us. That's our landing page. That's our main website. You can go there and hit the subscribe button, subscribe to our daily digest. By the way, if you're watching us by YouTube, please hit the bell to get notifications of when we upload new messages like this. Subscribe to us so you can follow us. We want you to know that you guys on Facebook and podcast, we do have a YouTube channel. That's where you can find all of our archived video messages. So everything you're hearing today on podcast, you can watch it in video form on YouTube. And again, if you don't follow us on Facebook, we're on Facebook. Just type in end time, time headlines. End time headlines, go there. Look for the official copyrighted ETH logo. You're going to see that. And then again, please like us, subscribe to us, and follow us there on End Time Headlines. You guys that may not be aware of this, we do have an app. It is free and it's available on iTunes and Google Play. You can go there right now, download it for free, get that app into your hands, get it on your tablet, get it on your cell phone, so you can keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, as well as our podcast, our YouTube. All of it's going to be there, guys. When you go to the bottom of the screen, when at the very bottom it says listen and watch, you can keep up with all of our messages there. You can subscribe to push notifications. You'll get all of our news and headlines there from a prophetic perspective. You'll never miss a headline. And as always, we want to give you the opportunity. Again, if you've been blessed, informed, equipped, and encouraged by our weekly broadcast, we're on here. We try to come on here 2, sometimes 3, sometimes 4 times a week when we have a lot to talk about. And we're on here every week. And if we're not informing you of things going on, we're encouraging. If we're not encouraging you, we're equipping you. So we're trying to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And this is why we do everything free. The messages are free. The podcast is free. The everything. We don't charge for subscriptions. We don't charge for the app. Everything is free for you guys. All we ask you to do is, if the Lord puts it upon your heart to be a supporter of our ministry, to help us continue to remain strong, we ask that you just be obedient to the Holy Ghost. And you could do that with a gift of any amount, a one-time gift, or you can become a monthly supporter, a monthly partner of our ministry. And again, you could do that at End Time Headlines, main website. Just click on the donate button right there, or there's places you can click on and it'll take you to an electronic page where you can give electronically. Or you can get by check or money order, and you can do that by making it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that is Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, we appreciate you taking the time out on this Thursday afternoon to be a part of the broadcast. Hey, we're going to try to come back on here tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have a topic. Unless something comes up that pushes this to the back burner, let's plan on tomorrow coming on here and we'll talk about this this project that Elon Musk is working on. He's about to unveil something. It's going to be a live demonstration I want to talk about that to you guys and why that's important to discuss. So again, be looking for that tomorrow. Now, if something happens with this storm or something comes up that's, I believe it's, that needs to be put on the front burner of events, then we'll discuss that first and then we'll push everything else out to the back burner. But as of now, we'll go ahead and plan that. So be looking for that tomorrow, Lord willing. I say Lord willing because things do happen. We've had the internet go out, power go out, all kinds of crazy things happen. You all know that. That's why the Lord said that we should say, if the Lord willing, we'll do this and do that. So you guys understand that. So we love you guys. God bless you. May the Lord bless you, keep you. May his countenance shine upon you. May his favor be with you. And hey, all you guys on the Gulf Coast, Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi, all you guys, we are praying for you. We posted a prayer on our Facebook page. And we'll continue to pray for your safety, your protection, and we continue to speak to the storm and command it to dissipate in the mighty name of Jesus. So just let you know, we are thinking about you, and you are on our mind, and we love you, and we appreciate you as well. So God bless you guys. We'll see you tomorrow.